You're listening to The After Session with Philip Lewis. I'm a therapist based in Washington, D.C., and I hope to provide my perspective on work done throughout the therapeutic process. Thanks for listening. Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So today we're going to be discussing a little bit of toxicity in relationships and fidelity, self-respect, that good stuff. So thanks for coming and sharing some of your insight. So just for those who are listening, this is kind of unorthodox or I don't know, out of the norm, because if you're a regular listener, you know that sometimes I get folks who I've previously worked with or on a professional level or those who I've worked with as a client or patient. And today I'm just meeting someone for the first time because my producer thought it'd be a good idea to come up with some questions about the topic and really get into a good conversation. So thanks for joining us and being brave enough to go on this journey with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
So my first question, when it comes to realizing we're in a toxic relationship and deciding to move on, what's a determining factor for you?
To leave the relationship or to move on?
Well, actually, let's break that down into three parts. Realizing it's toxic.
Yeah.
Deciding to leave and then moving on.
Okay. So for the toxic side, I think it's a bit strong for my situation because it really started with seeing amber flags. So for cultural, for cultural clarification, it's kind of not red flags, but flags that that raise doubts or eyebrows or questions. And it was from them that I started pondering and wondering, okay, if this is long term, how would I feel? Am I really comfortable with these amber flags that I'm seeing? So those were the things that I didn't neglect or kind of brush underneath the carpet. But there were things that I would just really ponder and just think, okay, can I really accept this long term if I was married? Or would it be more, are they just things that I need to learn to be patient with? Are they acceptable? Are they tolerable? So I was really kind of categorizing them in those kind of buckets and then seeking out married friends, asking them like, okay, when you met your partner, how did you know, like if you found something out, how do you know this is acceptable or if this is something that's quite serious and how do you know that you can live with it and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of did that analysis. And the second part of the question was?
Deciding to leave.
Okay, that wasn't as straightforward. Not everyone would do this, but I digged into it more.
What do you mean by digged into it more?
Well, okay, so we live in a world with internet and easy access. And I think it's utilizing those existing resources to find more information.
That was a really nice way of putting it. But I get what you're trying to say, okay?
Where I'm heading towards.
I get where you're heading towards. That's I will use that one in the future.
For context, it was a long distance relationship. So, of course, after the last time we were in person, it's long distance, and there were things, the amber flags that I brought up, I did raise them to him up front, and we did talk about them. And there are a few that I can remember the answers to, and the others were answers, but they were like wishy washy. You know, they were like waves. It was very hard for me when I came back to my own home, when I pondered about them, I just couldn't really accept those kind of answers because it wasn't concrete. So it was kind of that. And in line with my curious personality, that I accessed information that's available on social media.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have to convince yourself that you weren't going crazy? Like, I shouldn't be obsessive, or I'm stalking this person, or what's that process in trusting yourself, or I guess your intuition, to be able to gather data and use that data to make a decision?
Very good question. Definitely for me, seeking married friends' insight was very important.
Okay.
We have many people in our lives, and sometimes we go to everyone and anyone, but not really going to the right people for certain situations. Mm-hmm. So for me in this, it was important for me to reach out to married friends, not just my good friends who may be single or just in relationships, but because our relationship was kind of looking towards that direction. And all my hypothesis and my analysis, I ran with them with my friends who listened and, like, you know, challenged me to be like, you don't know, this might be an old post.
Mm-hmm.
This might be something that the person is reliving the memory because they no longer do that together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these were like, oh yeah, actually I could be really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way of actually knowing if you're crazy or if you've overanalyzed, or it's very hard, but I think you have to be very pragmatic. If you can, take the emotions out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where seeking good friends, for me, they kept me in check.
Mm-hmm.
All in the build-up in coming here. I definitely went through waves. Like, one day I'll be like, okay, I think it's this. The next day I'll be like, my friend will bring something up. I'll be like, oh yeah, okay, maybe I'm totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, I'm accepting that. Then the next day something comes up. So I literally went through, like, yeah, a roller coaster daily.
And I'm assuming, or I at least as a therapist always tell my patients, you accept the motion or the thing that comes up, even if it changes daily or hourly or whatever.
Yes.
Whatever that changes, however it presents itself, it's okay, because it's you, and you got to love yourself.
Yes, awesome. Yes, yes, yes. I wouldn't start then looking internally to be like, oh no, I'm this. And no, because I had the amber flags.
Mm-hmm.
For me, they were
significant enough to question.
Significant data. Mm-hmm. They weren't facts because I don't have proof,
mm-hmm.
but they were enough for me to probe and to really be curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then moving on?
Oh, moving on. Closure.
Okay.
So from past experience of having really great mentors in my life, closure is very important. Now, closure doesn't necessarily mean you'll get the answer to the questions that you have for the person.
Mm-hmm.
Closure is, for my other experience was, my mentor sat me and my ex down in a safe space, and we just said things that we needed to say. At one point, my ex at that time walked out because it was too much for him.
Mm-hmm.
But with the mentor in the presence, my mentor went out and brought him back. But I recall not getting answers to my questions,
mm-hmm.
but I needed to say everything I needed to say.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your questions could be rhetorical
because
you know you're not going to get the answers, but it's like...
Or the answer you want.
Or the answer you
sometimes
want.
You get an answer, but it's not what you're expecting.
You know, you could say like, why did you choose me? Why did you date me? But you know you're not going to get the answer, or you don't really want the answer, mm-hmm. but it's just you want to say all those things out to that person.
Mm-hmm.
So from that first experience, I learned about closure. But in this one, I'm a believer. God really protected me in this situation is what I've always said. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him. I saw his other girlfriend, and that was my closure.
Oh.
Yeah, that was my closure. I was planning to surprise him at his house.
Mm-hmm.
His other girlfriend arrived, and that was my closure.
That was enough.
Of course, we said everything. We shared kind of our journey that was happening in parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was my closure. So I haven't heard from him. I haven't spoken. I've had no verbal contact, no text or what's like, no contact at all. And that's been a great closure for me.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because with my amber flags,
mm-hmm.
at the build up, I had my facts from her.
Mm-hmm.
that's what I needed. I needed that. I needed the facts, the truth.
Right.
And she gave me the truth.
Good.
But hearing from her, even till this day, he doesn't give her the full truth, mm-hmm. even though she knows all of it from my side,
mm-hmm.
my story verbally, my pictures mm-hmm. to support the story. Even when she confronts him, he doesn't tell the full truth. So knowing that, I'm very satisfied with how it ended. And that's my closure for this.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Sometimes when infidelity specifically, or relationships in general, and
yeah.
our belief of ourself, you know, our regular measures of self-love and worth and respect sometimes get challenged based off, you know, this thing is happening, so this result occurred, so it must mean something about me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How did you navigate that with this situation? Or are you still navigating it?
Still navigating.
Okay.
Interesting. So for me, so more on the context, the other girlfriend is a girlfriend of 2 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
We met 6 months ago. So one aspect from that for me was like, okay, I'm the mistress in this.
Mm.
So that was the one thing.
So just that aspect. So obviously that that's hard. So if I can, and you can say no.
No, of course you can.
The concept of being a mistress, what belief do you tell yourself? What weight does that hold?
It's a very unique situation because I guess if you look at in a picture that we all have an image of, mistress is usually the one who's, you know, you have a husband and wife. Mm-hmm. The wife is a good woman mm-hmm. who looks after children, who does the house chores, you know, who loves and respects the man.
Mm-hmm.
But the mistress is the one who's more playful, outgoing, you know, party girl.
Mm-hmm.
But in my situation, I'm the mistress, but I have more of the wife attributes.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, in the process, sometimes it's very confusing to be like, why would you kind of choose a mistress who falls into the long-term image than the short-term?
Hmm.
But for myself, how I move on or how I manage this is that I'm not like that. Even in the way that I've been brought up, in the way that I present myself,
mm-hmm.
I don't present myself that way.
So you're not a mistress.
Sorry?
So you're not a mistress.
I'm not a mistress. I know that in myself, I'm not a mistress. And that's how... it's not that I just tell myself that I know I am. Because even the first time that I met him, you know, I'm not dressed in the way that you would think, you know, or how, you know, if you go out on a Friday night, how you expect a girl to dress. No, not in that sense. I respect myself enough that I don't go out half naked for public eyes to see me. I respect myself as a woman
mm-hmm.
that is something that's very intimate. That's for someone who's meant to be your spouse or your partner. So controversial,
mm-hmm.
but that's just me personally.
Yeah.
So knowing that in the context.
I think, hold on, if I can interrupt.
Yeah.
You're acknowledging this controversial, but I think you might be thinking that I'm thinking it's controversial for another reason.
Mm.
The reason why I have a problem with your statement
yes.
is because you're still giving yourself, or you're still holding yourself accountable for someone else's actions. Whether you dress up a certain way, or whether you don't, or whether you are fun, or whether you're the wife, you did absolutely nothing wrong.
Correct.
So none of those factors matter. None of them, whether you show a lot of skin, whether you don't, whether you bake the cookies and take the kids to drop off, or whether you're the playful weekend ski trip runaway, whatever, no characteristic equates to you being someone who is unfaithful.
Yeah.
You're taking way too much weight or putting way too much onto yourself. Get what I'm saying? That's why I think it's controversial.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, that's very true. I think that kind of image I have is because of, you know, society, Hollywood,
right.
and how it presents kind of what your mistress would be.
Right.
So in that, I do, yeah, but I hold myself with integrity. I can say that I am a person of integrity, mm-hmm. and I didn't do anything wrong here. I didn't know his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was an ex, but I didn't know the girlfriend still was a girlfriend. But that's just one thing, just to say that, yeah, I'm still internally dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very hard. It's very funny. It's very bizarre. I'm still in contact with the ex, where we talk a lot. And she asked me a lot of questions. And I think for me, the reason why I agreed to keep in contact with her, because like I said, duration-wise, it's been 2 years for this woman with him. And they've been through so much more complications, mm-hmm. a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's 6 months of long distance. Mm-hmm. Now, 6 months of long distance, if we really count the time that we spent together seeing each other, is less than that.
Mm-hmm.
So time-wise, it was a very short relationship. But he said like long-term marriage things to the both of us. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing... in a way that I want to support her kind of going through this, because she was in denial of how he's been. I couldn't believe that he was living a double life.
Mm-hmm.
So actually being in contact with her, for myself, and maybe I'm kidding myself to a certain extent,
mm-hmm.
is to help her to process it. But I think at the same time, it's indirectly my way
of trying to prove to yourself that you're not the immoral one.
Yeah.
Mm.
But the funny thing is, she says she's like, looking at your relationship with him. She was like, yours looks so much better mm-hmm. than what I had with him for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I'll take that as a compliment. But I don't know. For me, it's very weird. I cannot explain it. I guess now talking to you, it's my first time. And because I know you're a therapist, it's almost like the first time that I'm actually dealing with this. Mm-hmm. That's not my friends. And yeah. So anyways, it's kind of like helping her through, like to help her to be like, you need to move on. This is not healthy for you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I know that it kind of helped me with that, because maybe it's a way to prove to myself of how I felt or how I'm feeling. Or how I just see this situation set up was like.
Hmm.
So yeah, it's a very unique situation that I never thought I would be in, mm-hmm. even in the sense that I'm still talking to the ex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you trust yourself after all of this?
How do I trust myself? Mm-hmm.
After all, has it impacted your self-trust or your intuition or those amber flags that you said you should or shouldn't follow? And now, you know, still carrying some emotion from what you're currently going through. Has it impacted your just self-trust?
Yes. Not in my self-trust. Mm-hmm. It's made it even more that I'm really good at investigating.
Okay.
I'm really good.
So it's helped give you confidence and understanding and yes. going with your intuition.
The other experience that I talked about where I had my mentor and this situation, the two common factors is that I found out the infidelity through social media. And it's the same social media platform.
Mm.
And if hearing from what I said at the start, you know, I tend to go and seek out the answers or try to investigate the amber flags or doubts. So if I was to really think about these two experiences, why?
Why what?
Why they're so almost like for like. Why is it that, why couldn't it be even just, you know, if I was to really detail the two experiences, like I said, it's from the same social media platform that I found out the truth about both my exes.
Oh, so this is a recurring theme. So you think it means something about you?
Yeah. Could it be? Could it just be a pure coincidence that they both slipped up on these social media platforms? But the trust, yeah. I know that I have issues trusting men.
Hmm.
But this ex of mine, he didn't have my full trust to a certain point because of his actions and his behaviors. Mm-hmm. So, for example, constantly having your phone with you, constantly. Let's say right now you're sleeping and you wake up to go to the bathroom. Even in that 30 seconds, you have to take your phone with you. It's in the middle of the night. You wake up, mm-hmm. you go for a bathroom, you go to the bathroom. Even then, you take your phone with you.
So if that was an amber flag, then did you address it?
Because we were long distance and this was the first time that we actually spent time together physically, I didn't want to be that person to be like, hey, what's this? I didn't question too much.
So when is what you're feeling valid enough to express it?
Looking back at that time, it was more like, okay, the next time that we see each other, I will just say like, hey, I've noticed that you're always on your phone. Is there a particular reason? I kind of, I'm a person where I like to observe first, you know, just kind of understand someone and just their life just daily. And if we are continuing the relationship, then I could be like, hey, you know, actually these kind of things, I'm not sure I'm quite comfortable with.
Does it make a difference if it's now or later, if it's an emotion that you're feeling and or a thing you're thinking about? Does time mean that your emotion is no longer valid?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm not very experienced in relationships. Uh-huh.
I'm not either. You know, I guess we all are learning. I always say each relationship is not like something to say we're experienced with. Each relationship should be something we're actually learning from. So each time I enter into a new relationship, I'm a novice in this relationship. And that's the kind of like look I take at the new person I'm engaging with. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. So with that, again, my original answer, your emotion, I'm assuming, doesn't change night one or night two or night 25, right?
Yes.
So when is what you're feeling, experiencing, or thinking valid enough for you to say something about it?
When I can no longer accept it. Like, maybe to the point where if it was done in a place that I really feel like you shouldn't be having your phone and you brought it out, then I'll be like, okay, why are you on your phone? Mm-hmm. But for me in that instance, maybe he has something to check. That wasn't in a situation where I would be like, okay, you shouldn't be. Let's say if you go to a theater and mm-hmm. it says no phones. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the show, you know, he doesn't just bring up the phone, but he's like texting for a while. Mm-hmm. I think in that instance, I'll be like, hey, you know, we came here to watch a show mm-hmm. and you spent the last 30 minutes on the phone. What's going on there? I think for me, I would be like, in that kind of context, mm-hmm. I would call out that kind of behavior.
Okay.
But, you know, driving, stop at the red light, flip out the phone. And for me, it's just that, well, just because I'm someone who's not always on my phone, mm-hmm. I shouldn't be too... complaining too much about that behavior about somebody else, because mm-hmm. I want to be mindful that you're not looking for someone who's like you exactly, mm-hmm. but recognize that everyone's individual. Everybody has different behaviors and actions,
right?
And I may have some that my partner may not accept. So this could just be, and we live in the day and age where people are always on the phone, you know, whether they're checking the traffic or news and everything. You know, it's very hard for me to differentiate. Is he because he's checking on the
I
privacy?
I am so sorry.
Oh.
I just think you are rationalizing this way too much. You don't know me and I don't know you. But I definitely think, I feel, and call me on my bullshit. I always say for everybody, you know, that, Philip, that is bullshit. I don't feel that, whatever. Call me on my bullshit. But I think you're talking yourself out of this. Giving me so many examples of the car, the movie theater, the bathroom, all of these things. I don't use my phone so much, so someone else may use it a lot. We're two individuals, all of these things.
Yes.
Other than saying, what I feel is what I feel, and when I feel it is when I feel it. And there's nothing wrong with me expressing my feeling at any point in time. Am I crazy if I believe that?
No, because I felt all of that mm-hmm. after I came back to my hometown mm-hmm. when I was able to really digest what happened and all, like, just how we were. And that was where it was really difficult for me, because I was like, okay, can I really accept this if we were really mm-hmm. long-term and getting married? And I think sometimes when you're constantly with someone, it's very hard to kind of pull away mm-hmm. and to be rational. And maybe, like, you don't know, maybe I'm too rational and not emotionally
that's
enough.
The problem. My friends always say my ass is always irrational. Because I don't necessarily have to explain all of my feelings. Sometimes this stuff comes up and I have no clue why it's up. My stomach is tingling or I have butterflies. At least for this time, this point in my life, I think I've narrowed it down to that means I'm emotionally unsafe, right?
Yeah.
My shoulder tingles. That means I think that I'm physically unsafe. There's nothing in my environment that makes me, the house isn't burning, no one has a gun or whatever, but I still feel physically unsafe. For me to tell myself it's not rational and it should go away will drive me insane. That's just my thought. Mm-hmm. I should acknowledge it and question everything around until I figure out an answer, because that's how I either learn more about myself yeah. or more about the people I'm involved with. And thankfully, thank God, the people that I have, I guess, cultivated or trained or kept around me or collected in my journey knows that sometimes the shit I say and feel just ain't gonna make sense, but I'm being inquisitive.
Yes.
And I'm trying to understand my emotion. And if we both process it and talk about it openly, then me asking you why you're taking your phone to the bathroom in the middle of the night isn't a big deal, because you just know that's how I operate. And I have to go with what I'm feeling, or else it'll be pent up inside. And then I have guilt and shame and regret and all of these things that come from not just figuring out what my emotion meant in the moment.
So, yes, I agree with that to a certain extent.
Okay.
I don't want it to, I guess now hearing you say that, I think where I fit into that kind of process, mm-hmm. I guess I allow it to kind of continue until it
gets too much.
It gets to a bit of a tipping point. Then I'm like, okay, I can't be like, but I wouldn't allow it to really spill over to be like, and then come out, you know, all blazing.
I hate having my back against the wall. And that's what that's what I see it as. Like, I'm going to wait till there's a boundary or there's a point of no return, and then I'll say something.
Right.
I don't like to flirt on the edge. No, let me know now. You know what I mean? Let's air this out. Let's figure it out. Let's not go anywhere near that boundary or ever have me feel like I have to have my back against the wall. Yeah. Because then what happens? I'm responding. Yeah. And that response may not be a good one, because I'm going to just figure out how to protect myself emotionally and physically. And someone might get hurt in the wake of that, right?
Yes.
Because now we're just going off of our response to protect ourselves or figure this thing out and make sure that when our back is against the wall or now we're at this boundary, we're safe. But we don't have to wait till it gets to that point, in my view.
No, but this is very helpful, because, yeah, I didn't really analyze that for myself mm-hmm. in how, I guess, in a way I was kind of tolerating it until I can't tolerate it. Mm-hmm. I kept telling myself in the last few months, it was more just analyzing, processing him and just kind of getting to see what he's really like in his normal life.
Yeah.
And then, and maybe I take too much of the work approach, even in my relationships, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of, yeah, feeling it out, and to be like, okay, is this something that I would accept? But clearly, and that's where it's interesting, because what I tell the ex, you have to know your values.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be sure of your values.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into a relationship or you meet someone, you make sure the values are at the forefront for you to decide whether this person matches that.
Right.
And if they don't, you walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Because values is not something you can compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I've just had a revelation that I'm actually...
Hey, I'm glad you had a revelation. I'm happy. Did you abandon your values?
That's a very good question. I don't feel like I did.
Okay.
But then right now, those list of values is not very clear to me.
So they weren't clearly identified before going in? Or did they change and you didn't honor them? Because you said you're having a revelation based on these values. So did you just not hold those or hold yourself or that person to the standard in this relationship? Or did they change over time and you just didn't acknowledge or honor them?
It's a very interesting, I'm not able to answer you in the way you answer the question. Mm-hmm. But if I could explain to you how it even evolved, maybe you could help get the answer out for me.
For sure. We'll see.
When I met him, I knew what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
A flink. Can I say that?
That's fine.
I wasn't looking for a relationship, basically. Mm-hmm. I knew myself. And that was not what I was looking for.
Gotcha.
But he pursued.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was in that proactive pursuing that kind of... The one way I described to a friend is that I sat on this boat and I went with the waves.
Mm-hmm.
I had no sail. I wasn't sailing.
Mm-hmm.
The waves just pushed me out to the ocean. Mm-hmm. I wasn't lost, but even though I didn't have a compass, it's almost like the waves were sailing me out to the right direction.
Right.
He was actively, in a long-distance relationship, I felt he did things like there was no red flags, there were green flags. Mm-hmm. We met here, he came to visit me. He then brought me out here. We spent time, we got to talk to each other. He asked about, okay, what are you looking for? And he also set out some expectations and they were the same as mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, that's a value of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage, family,
mm-hmm.
in that order. No children before marriage. I was like, that's great. That is my value.
So you didn't abandon your values. You just forgot them for the moment.
Yeah, can I say that? That's I'm not too sure either, actually. I don't know if I... Yeah, that's how I feel. I don't think
He said something that kind of matched what you were feeling, and then you got comfortable and didn't outline all of the other values or things that you required of a relationship because of the comfort and because you're kind of going with the flow and then found yourself in this situation.
Yes.
Without the standards or without the values that you would traditionally require if you had went into a relationship intentfully.
Yes.
With intention, right? You weren't seeking it.
Yes, okay. Yes, that yes, yes, okay. Yes. So I think that's kind of where, yeah, I hope that has answered.
No, that, yes. Yeah,
yeah, I think because definitely. For me was that my intentions was not, I was not seeking for a relationship. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I was, then that would be, I think it would be different. But yeah, just exactly how you summarized. Okay.
Looking back, what advice would you give yourself, your past self?
Maybe touch on the other values besides that, because yes, that's important, but there's the other aspect. But I think more recently, you need to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, yes, we can meet strangers and you can start something, but I've realized for myself, we weren't friends.
Mm.
I've been going out with friends regularly, and the conversation that I have when I come home, I don't recall ever having those kind of just conversations. Mm-hmm. Just anything. We didn't have that. We had serious conversations,
mm-hmm.
future planning. We talked about where we would move in the US. You know, all those like really very green flags
mm-hmm.
that you would want in a relationship, because you want to know exactly where this is heading towards to. You both live in different locations. Where do you want to settle down? We talked about those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the casual stuff, I didn't even know what music he was into.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what I was into because I said I like Afrobeats. He found an Afrobeats lounge for us.
Mm-hmm.
In the car, he placed classical music. Not because I mentioned, but actually I listened to classical music too.
Mm-hmm.
So these were some of the things that we never spoke about, but sometimes it seemed like we had the same interest.
Mm-hmm.
But then I found out, through accessible data,
mm-hmm.
he's into EDM,
mm-hmm.
ele-
Electronic dance music.
Right.
Yeah, yes. Electro dance
music. Electro. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Mm. So the little things you would pay more attention to, you would probe, you would cultivate more. You think that's why you found yourself in the situation you found yourself in.
Yeah, because I didn't know him as a person. I knew him as a potential partner.
Ooh, you jumped the gun there. Okay. Yes. So you met the partner, but you didn't know the person.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think the society calls this love bombing. Uh-huh. So he's like, what?
Yeah, an aspect of it.
Right, okay, yep, yes. Yep.
So you jumped from cultivating some form of relationship to just these are the aspects of what a partnership would look like.
Yes.
And I don't actually know this person.
Correct.
But I just know what they want in a partnership.
Yes.
Makes sense.
And because he came across as someone who knew what he wants, mm-hmm. and I guess in a normal context, that's a great thing.
Right.
Right?
In addition to knowing the person. it's a package deal because there's a lot of people out here knowing what they want but we gotta know them as a person.
Yeah. But it's interesting because a lot of us right now is that we all know what we want right now, but mm-hmm. a lot of people don't really know what they want down the road, so it's
or
who they are. So mm-hmm. it's interesting that's why this situation is really not your norm. It's not. I really find it's happened in the reverse of mm-hmm. where there wasn't red flags from the start. They were all green flags. You meet a guy who's laid out very clearly what he wants in a family. That's what a woman wants. You know, a woman likes a man who knows, okay, you know, okay, I'm looking for fun time. You know, it's fun time. I'm looking for a serious relationship. You know, for relationship.
Mm-hmm. But don't skip the part of knowing the man.
Yeah, just the basic.
Yeah.
Do you drink? Do you smoke? Do you do drugs? What do you do at the weekends? I think...
Why are you taking your phone to the bathroom?
Yeah, so that's what I would tell myself.
Okay.
Is actually don't neglect knowing the person
mm-hmm.
from this aspect. Yes, it's great if they're visionary and they know what they want in life, but don't neglect knowing the basic details. Mm-hmm. You know? Do you like caffeine? Do you drink coffee? Do you need coffee to wake up in the morning?
Right.
I mean, he didn't, mm-hmm. but that's not. I just knew that from behavior.
Right.
He never drank coffee. I did.
Mm.
But yeah. So yeah.
Okay.
Getting to know someone. Yeah. Which is very. Yeah. It's very bizarre. Mm. It's very.
It's life. It's life. Yeah. Man. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you. You have any questions for me?
How do I deal with the trust?
How do you deal with trust?
Trusting men.
Trusting men. I don't think it's about trusting men. That comes later. You got to trust yourself. And that goes to that night where someone went up to use the bathroom. And I know I keep bringing it up and joking about it. But your intuition said, something here is not right. And you didn't go with yourself, what you felt and what you thought. And maybe you would have been wrong. Maybe you would have said, I didn't want the alarm to wake you. Or I was going to look up something for the morning for us to go to breakfast or whatever. Maybe it would have been absolutely nothing. But a person who is sure of themselves would not care. And the person who knows they're worthy of something knows that even if I make a mistake, even if I overanalyze, even if I just go with my emotion and my emotion doesn't make sense, I can't rationalize it, yeah. I am worthy of enough love that you're going to stick around anyway. And if you don't, good. Because that means that you were making space for someone else who will. So trusting yourself, and the more you hold yourself close and the more you trust yourself, I mean, trust for men will come, but you probably won't even need to because you trust yourself so much that no one can really make you doubt your emotion. You'll ask for what you need and require it because there's an ask and there's a requirement, and you can't occupy space in my world if those two don't go together, right? You can do whatever you want to do. Maybe you'll be cheating. I'm not sure. But if all of my needs are met, I'm going to be good.
I guess that's quite hard for me to accept because I thought I addressed all my intuitions.
Later. Yeah. After you went back and you told yourself maybe it's this, and I'll rationalize him picking up the phone at the stoplight or the movie. And when I had stopped you and said you were convincing yourself of something,
yes.
that you're trying to convince yourself of of something other than what you're feeling is what my thought was when I interrupted you earlier. All of those things could be answered if you were to just ask him that question that night. Instead of going through all these scenarios and possibilities, and he's in it, everyone's an individual, and maybe he's got a phone and I'm not a social person, so I don't give it. All of that would have been answered if you just went with your gut and trusted yourself.
So I don't trust myself completely yet.
I think so. And what do you have to lose if you try to trust yourself more? Trust your intuition more. Go with what you feel when you feel it. Now, I'm not saying being inappropriate or offend people or anything like that. But, I mean, when I'm feeling something, I acknowledge it. And try to make sure everyone around me knows that I'm not being vicious, malicious, or whatever it is. I try to. That's my intent. But if I'm feeling something, it's got to be put on the table. Because then, if I don't, I'm telling my subconscious that what I feel does not matter. And that sends a ripple effect through the rest of all the other thoughts that come in my mind. If I don't verbalize something, how can I expect anyone else to honor what I'm feeling?
Wow. And I thought, compared to the other ex, I thought my intuition was really good.
It might be. I'm saying that you should. Because it is. You weren't wrong. Your intuition was right. The problem was you didn't trust your intuition. I'm not saying that your intuition was wrong. You got the answer that you felt like you were on. I mean, you found the evidence, all of these things.
Yeah.
Meaning you could have trusted yourself a lot earlier that night. Right. When these amber flags, where you told yourself they were amber, not red, so let me collect some more data.
Yes.
Why? Because your intuition is right. What's the point? Figure it out right then.
Okay.
So it's not saying it's broken or anything. You just trust it. You know it works. So trust it. And if it turns out to be wrong, okay. Now you learn something. And hopefully those who are around you are emotionally intelligent enough to just be like, oh, she's learning. And I want to be with her anyway.
Trust my intuition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No problem. Anytime. Anytime. Thank you. You've been listening to The After Session with Philip Lewis. I hope this time has been beneficial to you in some way. If you like some of the topics discussed, you can visit lewiscounseling.org and click on The After Session. Or follow me on Instagram at @theaftersession_. If you are interested in starting your therapeutic process or engaging in a protocol or technique referenced, please make sure you contact your mental health or medical provider. This podcast has been produced by Logan Wesley. You can follow Logan at onelawmusic.com or on Instagram at @1LAW_music. Thanks for listening. Be good to yourself.